I'm kind of wondering this morning, how many of you would say that you find it fairly easy to make decisions? How many of you are fairly easy, good decision makers? Wow, it's not as many as I thought. So how many of you would say that you sometimes find it more difficult to make decisions? It seems to be that that's the bigger crowd. Well, how many of you aren't really sure if it's easy or hard to make decisions? Because we're going to put you in that last category if that's you, you bet. You know, on a personal note, I thought it was interesting. Before Diane and I ever got married, the person who led us through our premarital counseling actually told us that because of our personalities, we were going to have a difficult time making decisions. Now, of course, I couldn't decide if I agreed with him about that or not, but we kind of got through that. And I suppose there's been times when we've been challenged with that. But have you noticed that the game shows today that require people to make decisions are really pretty popular? When I was growing up, remember back in the day, it was Let's Make a Deal. Remember Monty Hall? People had to decide between door number one, door number two, or door number three. Just recently, though, more it was Deal or No Deal. You had to pick and make a decision. It's so popular, I heard they're actually bringing that show back. Well, we're in this series called Divine Direction because there's just some times in life when it would be nice to have some divine help in making decisions, especially the ones that have major implications or far-reaching consequences in our lives. And so our goal for this series has been to provide some necessary tools to make divinely inspired decisions. We want to make decisions that God has been able to have some impact put on. And it's important, we know, in life to make good decisions. I'd actually share that the very best decision I've ever made in my life was choosing to become a Christ follower, to become a Christian. I'd have to say that the second best decision in my life was asking Diane Hinden to marry me. Fortunately, she said yes and chose as well. The decisions we make are important because they literally shape our lives. Every choice you make accumulates, eventually forming the tapestry of your life story. You are where you are today, mentally and physically and spiritually and emotionally and even financially because of the choices that you have made. And that could be why the Apostle Paul, when he was writing to encourage a group of believers, he admonished them when they were making decisions to use wisdom and to consider what God's will was when they were making those decisions. So if you have your Bibles, open them up to Ephesians chapter 5. We're going to be looking at just three verses, verses 15 through 17. I want you to notice what the Apostle Paul says there. He says, "Be very careful then how you live." And how you live is based on the decisions that you make. He says, "Don't be unwise, but be wise, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil." Then he goes on and says, "Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is." Now, when you hear that, do you think to yourself, that's exactly what I would like to know. I would like to know what the Lord's will is. So how do we figure that out, what the Lord's will is? Well, you know, there are some people today who believe that God has a very specific plan for their life, right down to the minutest detail. But what I've discovered is when you study the lives of really the main characters in the Bible, you'll find that God only provided very detailed directions occasionally in their lives, leaving a majority of their decisions up to those individuals themselves. And that's why I think it's much more helpful to recognize that God's will for your life is more of a description than a prescription. In other words, when we want to find out God's will, we want to see how God would describe our life rather than prescribing every single detail. So if you want to know, it's God's will that you should honor him by the way you live. That's kind of a description. We also know it's God's will that you would have a grateful heart. That's more of a description than a prescription. Now, there might be times when God has a specific detail that he may want your life to fulfill. I feel that way about coming to Academy Christian Church. I was pastoring on the south side of Colorado Springs for a number of years, did a little ministry with a parachurch ministry for a couple of years, and when I started feeling like, hey, I needed to get back into preaching, it just so happened that the door opened up here at Academy Christian Church. So we started knocking on the doors, and God opened one door after another, leading us in this direction so that it became very clear, even down to the detail of when we lived on the south side. My wife, Diane, said, "Hey, I'd be glad to move to the north side if A situation could happen. See, down on the south side, her sister lived just around the block from us. She's a single mom who moved out, and it was good for us to be close. So she said, I'd be glad to move to the north side if my sister can live next door to us. And I thought, wow, how is that going to happen that we could ever find a place like that? Well, it just so happens that when we found the house, that when we moved into a number of years, just across the street, another house was available that was perfect for Renee to be able to live in. And so for the last 13 years, we've actually lived right across the street. So it was clear, all the pieces kind of came together. But you know, it was not that way at all 25 years ago when we were pastoring in Iowa and the opportunity came up for us to be able to move to Colorado Springs. Even though we went through the same process, we sought the Lord's guidance, we would say we didn't really receive any clear direction from God which way we should go. And so after sorting through all the details and covering it with prayer, we just came to the conclusion that God was leaving it open for us to either move to Colorado Springs or to stay there in Iowa. We could have had a fruitful ministry either way. The decision was up to us. And so I just continued to believe today that when God doesn't provide clear, direct direction, that oftentimes he's leaving the decision up to me. And so that's part of the reason why in this series, we're examining some of the categories of the important decisions that we might need to make. Like when we need to start something or stop something, when we need to stay or go, when we need to connect or when we need to trust. And understanding that quite often God provides his direction through those very things. And so today, I'd like to help you identify when sometimes the most divinely inspired decision you can make is to stay. The thing God would want for your life more than anything else would be to stay. Now, you know, previously I mentioned that the two biggest mistakes you can make in life are not starting and not finishing. And so 2 weeks ago, we looked at the idea of starting. And we talked about how sometimes we need to start some things, maybe begin a habit or a practice or a discipline that could improve the story that our life tells or the outcome. I shared with you that my commitment was to start journaling, something that I've always dreaded. But I broke it down and said, I think I can write just one sentence every day. And I'll be honest, to get it started, I really had to think about it. I've actually, though, only missed a couple of days, and I've noticed it's already starting to become a habit. And when I've closed the end of the day, I'm not overwhelmed with just writing a sentence, but I'll pause just enough to reflect on the day. You'd be surprised how many times I've thought, you know what? I saw God in a certain moment, and it just reminds me of his presence. And so it's already having an impact, just being aware of what God's doing in my life. And so what did you need to be starting? We would encourage you that way. But today, we're going to take a look at the finishing side of that statement and talk about staying so that you can maybe finish something that you started. Somebody said a while back, behind every great story, there's always another story. Rarely does success come without time, discipline, hard work, and stick-to-itiveness. Successful people often joke that they spent years becoming an overnight success. I mean, let's face it, there's a lot of times in the midst of life when things get hard or difficult and we feel like quitting, or we feel like giving up or throwing in the towel. For some of you right now, that's the way you feel at work. You're frustrated with the way things are going and it's not going like you want. And you know, the problem with work is that it's just work. And so that's not always the most enjoyable thing to do. And you might be wondering, should I stay or should I go? It might be in a relationship that you're in. You know what the problem with people, if you haven't noticed, is that they're so human and they're hard to live with sometimes. And so you might be wondering about a relationship. Or maybe you've made some commitments to something that haven't turned out like you expected. And so you might wonder if it would be time to stop or to quit or to not to stay at them. Or it could be, honestly, in the marriage that you're in. I've mentioned often before one person who lamented, you know, I married the ideal, I got an ordeal, and now I want a new deal. And some of you might be at a point where that's kind of how you feel. But you know, you're most likely to feel like giving up or giving in when things are hard or when they're boring or when they're uncertain or when they're dangerous or when they feel meaningless. I mean, think about that for a moment. When things get hard, sticking and staying isn't easy when life gets hard or difficult, or when things get a little bit boring, especially in relationships. I know a lot of couples that their marriage has just gotten kind of boring. And I try to warn couples in their premarital counseling. I say, you know, one of the reasons why you have such a great relationship right now is because you're courting each other. You're going out on dates. You're spending a lot of time together. And then we get married and we quit doing those things that add all the zest to our relationship. And we wonder why the relationship gets boring. Or it could be uncertain. Things are uncertain. They're not sure how they're going to turn out. We might fear there's going to be a failure. And so if we don't want to fail, we'll try to get out before. Or it could be when things get dangerous. Now, I get a kick out of our society today because we're getting so risk-averse about everything. I mean, we make our kids wear helmets if they're just going to do anything that they might get hurt a little bit. Someone told me after the first service, and this is great. In Europe today, there are golf courses where they're going to start requiring the golfers to wear helmets. Because, you know, you might get hit in the head with a golf ball. That happens all the time, right? I mean, that's just how we are. But you know what? I want to remind you, in so many places today in the world, it's dangerous even to be a Christian. And I often wonder what kind of response we'd have in this country when we could maybe even be headed there sometimes. Or when things get meaningless, when something doesn't feel like it's making a difference in our lives, sometimes we want to give up. I remember a number of years ago, my grandmother was getting into her 80s and 90s. Her husband, my grandfather, had passed away years before. And I think she was feeling like her life was kind of meaningless. And she kept saying, "Hey, I wonder just what I'm here for." I said, "Grandma, it's easy to know what you're here for. You need to be praying for me every day because I need the covering of your prayers." And I say that because sometimes we need to bring the meaning to what we're doing. And so sometimes that's what needs to happen. And you know, Jesus experienced one of those moments himself when life was going to get extremely hard. And he had to decide whether he was going to stay or whether he would quit. And we know that from his prayer when he prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane. And remember, he said, "Father, if it's possible, I'd like to get away from this. I'd like to leave it. Remove this cup from me." But then he came to the conclusion, "Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done." Staying was his choice, even though he could have put a stop to it whenever he chose. And we know that because when they came to arrest him and one of his disciples pulled out a sword, he said to him, "Do you think that I cannot call on my Father and he will put at once at my disposal more than 12 legions of angels?" I mean, he could have stopped it all right there. But fortunately for us, Jesus chose to stay when it would have been much easier to quit. And because he stayed the course, he's actually described as the finisher of our faith in the King James Version of the Bible. In Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2, in the King James, it says, "Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith." Jesus was never a quitter. He was a finisher. And so we want to talk just for a little bit today about how does one become a finisher? When we need to stay, how do we stay? Well, staying put when you'd rather feel like abandoning ship is going to require you to circumvent two things. One of those things is what we call the myth of the greener grass. The myth of the greener grass. Now, when you talk about green grass, I have to admit that I'm kind of a fanatic about green grass. And I like green grass, and I like it nicely trimmed, which means I probably mow my yard a little bit more than absolutely necessary. I fertilize it about once a month. It gets watered regularly, maybe more than it needs to, but that keeps it green. But you know, the grass is greener on the other side of the fence is actually a metaphor describing how what other people have often sometimes looks better than what we have. And so we don't want to stay where we are. We like to go somewhere else. And so sometime when you get a chance, I just encourage you, Google greener grass. And you're going to see there's a lot that's been written about the myth of the greener grass. And people have come up with some pretty interesting statements about it. Statements like this: if the grass is greener on the other side of the fence, you can bet the water bill is higher. And that's sure true in our case. Sometimes the grass is greener on the other side of the fence because it's fake. And that's true. We see those fake lawns going out everywhere now. Or this one: if the grass is greener on the other side of the fence, there's probably more manure there. Now, they used a different word, but manure is probably more for church. Or when the grass is greener on the other side of the fence, it's probably because it's getting better care. or the grass isn't always greener on the other side of the fence. It's greener where you water it. And see, what we need to understand is when you are rooted in Christ, it really doesn't matter where you're planted. If you're rooted in Christ, it really doesn't matter where you're planted. That really is a myth of the greener grass. And you know, we know that because the Apostle Paul, he lived in a time where the grass was really green and the grass really wasn't green. In Philippians chapter 4, he talks about his experience. And notice what he says. He says, I've learned to be content whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I've learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do all of this through him who gives me strength. What he was saying was, it really doesn't matter if you're rooted in Christ where you're planted. Now, the truth is, if you're willing to look, you can find contentment with whatever you have or don't have. Now, the second thing you're going to have to circumvent in order to stay where you are when you would rather go is a close cousin to the first one, but it's what we would call destination disease. Destination disease. And destination disease is caused by the belief that if you were in a different place, if you were somewhere else, somehow it would make everything better. And while a change in circumstances can provide a change in perspective, the pitfall of the destination disease is that wherever you go, there you are. And so you might think, if I go somewhere else, life will get better. When your struggles are internal, though, changing the external details of your life is probably only going to help temporarily. So what we need to recognize is if we can't find joy where we are right now, we're likely not going to find it just because we go somewhere else. If you're frustrated by the details of your life where you are right now, you're probably not going to be any less frustrated by the details of your life someplace else. In other words, changing your external circumstances without changing what's inside of you is probably going to lead you to exactly the same experience. And when we get the greener grass syndrome, or destination disease, what I've discovered is that all too often, people make permanent decisions based on a temporary situation. People make permanent decisions based on a temporary situation. Have I mentioned lately how much I enjoy grandparenting? It is the best. In fact, I think if we could have had grandkids first, I might have had more kids to raise the odds of having more grandkids. Well, you know, we have one grandson that is about 2.5 and another grandson that is about to become 2. And it's been fun watching because we're just the grandparents. Both sets of parents are experiencing that season in life when parenting is a real challenge because both of these little guys are learning to express their newly found free will. And they like to express it. And so here's what I've noticed. If you happen to show up at the right time, like when the little man is having one of his 2-year-old temper tantrums, they just might be willing to give you their child. You could say, here, take this child from us. Now, you know I'm just kidding, but I hope you get the picture. All too often, people make a permanent decision based on a temporary situation. As a grandparent, I know they're going to go through it. And what I would want to say to young people here today, because we've got a really an epidemic in this country of young people who are ending their lives because of a temporary situation that they're in, and they're choosing a permanent decision that ends that. And so we got to do something about that. That's sometimes what people do. And so a great question to ask yourself is, am I choosing not to stay where I am because that's the right thing to do? Or because it just would be easier to go, to leave. And you know, sometimes God has you right where you are so that you can learn the lesson that he wants you to learn. The lesson he wants you to learn. You know, we just finished up a series that covered my favorite chapter in the entire Bible. But if I was honest this morning, I'm going to share with you probably one of my least favorite passages of Scripture because I don't really like what it says. And it's found in James chapter 1, and he gets all the way to chapter 2, and he's laying it on pretty heavy. Notice what he says, consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters. He doesn't just say joy, he has to say pure joy, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces something. It produces perseverance. And let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. See, perseverance is about staying when you'd rather quit or give up. And what that means is, folks, sometimes instead of asking God to get you out of those difficult circumstances, it would be better for you to ask him what he wants you to get out of those difficult circumstances that you're in. Because here's what I've discovered. If God wants me to learn a lesson and he enrolls me in a class to learn that lesson and I choose to drop the class, he just will rearrange the circumstances again and re-enroll me in that class until I learn what he wants me to learn, because he's got lessons, things that he wants me to learn. Which leads us to the question I'd like to ask each one of us today. Is God showing you an area of your life where he wants you to stay? Is there an area in your life that you are tempted to abandon rather than stay because it's hard, or it's unpleasant, or it's extra challenging right now, or maybe a little bit overwhelming? Do you know how spiritual endurance is cultivated in our lives? It's through the testing of our faith. Now, we have to be careful and recognize that the devil tempts us to do evil in order to cause us to stumble. But God tests us to do good to us, to help us learn how to stand and how to stay. I love what Warren Wiersbe says. He says, a faith that cannot be tested cannot be trusted. And there's going to come a time, even when probably in our faith we may feel like giving up. In Matthew chapter 24, Jesus warned and said, because of the increase of wickedness, the love of most will grow cold. But the one who endures, the one who stands firm to the end, will be saved. You know, when I graduated from Bible college back in 1984, the first church I served was at a little bitty town in Iowa, about 700 people, called Correctionville. Sounded like a place that needed the gospel. You know, it's Correctionville. And in that first ministry, I think I was ready to quit about every week. I would tell Diane, hey, I don't think I can do this. I don't know if I can do this. I didn't want to stay. I wanted to quit. And I am so glad now, years later, that I stayed. Of course, there's been ups and downs, but countless blessings have come because I chose to stay. And if I hadn't chose to stay, my life would be much poorer. And some of you are in situations, there's some young people here, and you're trying to figure out, should I finish college? Because it's getting a little bit hard. We got, you know, finals coming up and all that extra work. And I'm like, wow, do I really want to pay that price? Or some of you might be challenged right now in your participation at church. Because as we talked about, there's humans here, and so humans kind of hurt one another, and maybe somebody hurt you. And I hear people saying, hey, we're kind of taking a break from church right now. We don't feel like staying. Or maybe you've even considered walking away from your faith in God because of some of the difficult circumstances. And sometimes the most godly decision you can make is just to stay. We already mentioned the whole issue of marriage. There might be some folks here today, your marriage is struggling, and there may be a time when it is time to give up, but maybe not. Maybe you felt like giving up. I know so many married couples who've been married a long time, and they have a great relationship, but all of them, when I talk to them, have said, you know what? It took a lot of work, took a lot of commitment, took a lot of perseverance and stick-to-itiveness. And if you're struggling in your marriage today, I would just encourage you, get some help and be glad to pay for it. You know, I'm going to quit preaching and just go to meddling for just a moment here today. Because what's so interesting to me is how a couple will claim that they can't come up with $500 to go to counseling to save their marriage, but somehow down the road, they're able to come up with $5,000 to retain a lawyer in order to get a divorce. I'm thinking, wow, what happens to that? So stick with it. Now, I would say stick it out, but don't just endure it. Work on making it better. One of the things Diane and I have tried to commit ourselves to is to attending a marriage conference at least once every 5 years so that we can renew and restore our relationship. But whatever it is, what is an area of your life that you're tempted to abandon? Maybe because it's hard. or unpleasant or extra challenging or overwhelming. And you can sense God is telling you to stay. See, here's something that we all get to decide. We can decide this: I'm not a quitter, and with the help of my God, I'm a finisher. I'm not a quitter, with the help of my God, I'm a finisher. Are you choosing maybe to give up because it's the right thing to do, or because quitting just seems easier? You know, 2 weeks ago, I mentioned our good friends who determined that it was God's will for them to be missionaries in Africa. They went to Tanzania. And while they went willingly, I got to say, it was a very challenging experience to begin with. They went there and were immersed all of a sudden in a very different culture, not knowing hardly any of the language, so they had to quickly get into language learning while they're just immersed in living there. They lived in a city with limited infrastructure due to the third world conditions, and that included having utilities that were, you know, pretty variable. Sometimes they worked, sometimes they could be out indefinitely. They actually had to hire a night watchman to guard their house from gangs breaking in. And when they called the police, if they ever had to, the police said, hey, we're only going to come if you pay for our gas to get there. So it was kind of a difficult situation. Their kids had to attend an international school, which was culture shock to them and awkward. And I could go on, but suffice it to say, once they got there, it would have been much easier for them just to pack up and leave, not to stay. But because they stayed and worked through those challenges, it's amazing. Now there's actually an active mission station where they're bringing in Maasai couples to train to be church planters, and there are literally dozens of church plants started in Maasai land out in the bush where it's way too challenging to send in foreign missionaries, and people are coming to Christ there because of that. In the second chapter of their season in Tanzania, it led them to design a basic utility vehicle, better known as a BUV, which is the first vehicle ever to be manufactured in Tanzania. In fact, they needed to get a VIN number for it, and they didn't know how to get it because there'd never been a VIN number originated in Tanzania. And they had that opportunity to provide work for people that was meaningful, as well as financial resources that would enable that mission station to continue to function without outside financial assistance. But you know, that only became possible because they chose to stay. What would it be in your life today where you know God wants you to stay, but it just feels like it'd be easier to give up? Think down the road to what God might want to do where he's calling you to stay. Let's pray. Father, thank you for challenging us to persevere when we need to persevere. You've already told us that life isn't going to be always the way we want it to be, and not without challenge or difficulty. But Father, I would just pray for those in the room here today who are struggling with an issue of whether they should stay or whether they should go. And I pray that you'd help them to really be able to listen clearly to you and to your Spirit if you're telling them to stay. And that they'd have the courage and the stamina and the perseverance and the grace to be able to stick out whatever it is that they need to stay at today. And Father, help us to do that in the strength that Christ provides. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.